I think we're ready to go into closed session.
I would not see that, I can see that.
Once Gary Gergini rejoins us, Gary, we're ready to go into closed session. Shut that door behind you, would you, Gary?
Shut down, I'll hear you.
That one, Gary.
Gary, close the door.
Okay, Gina, you have the floor.
Okay, well, Erica is in here, do you want to address the board, Erica, about the...
No, I mean, I'm just here to listen, because I think I don't understand how we remedy something when employees are made whole. I talked to Gary about this, I emailed Eugene, the grievance committee, and from my understanding, taking public funds, giving 40 hours of pay back to an employee, and then letting them pay the county back in a 4-hour increment over 10 payrolls or 20 weeks, that's public funds given to somebody, which is basically a payroll loan because they're going to pay it back. Those that want their benefit time restored, we're going to give them 40 hours, give back 40 hours of a benefit time, and then deduct it from their paycheck 4 hours at a time over 10 payrolls, which is 20 weeks. We've now had at least three employees out of that department leave. One that's going to go out on work comp and so isn't going to be getting a paycheck, so there wouldn't be anything to take it out of. And the way I'm notified when employees leave over there, they could be gone and I would not have a payroll to take that money out. I don't understand how we can take public funds, give somebody a cash advance. This is exactly what AFSCME was told we wouldn't do. We gave them the option to cash out benefit time. If they chose to cash it out, they gave us their benefit time, they got money back, everybody's square. I don't understand how we can proceed with this grievance remedy. And the grievance says to make an employee whole. Every single one of our employees in this county is whole. They lost nothing. They didn't lose anything. And I have one employee over there called me 2 weeks ago and wanted to argue about, but you're holding a week's pay. We're not holding anything. The middle payroll, which I had given you documentation in January, but the May 15th payroll, and I've tried to explain this as simple as I can, was a one-week paycheck. The May 15th paycheck that every county employee got covered the hours worked for May 3rd through May 9th. Where had we proceeded as was, that May 15th paycheck would have actually covered May 3rd through May 16th and would have been a prepayment, not payment for time earned. You know, and that's what we were remedying with the pay period change. So on May 15th, every county employee was given the option if they wanted to cash out benefit time so that they would have a full 2 week check in that payroll, they could have it. They were actually only receiving pay for earned time for 1 week. So when they got their paychecks, and if they chose to cash it out, they cashed it out. If they chose not to, they chose not to. So, on the May 29th payroll, that paycheck covered hours worked, paycheck earned, for May 10th through May 23rd. Then the following paycheck in April, or June, I'm sorry, the June 12th paycheck covered May 24th through June 6th. I have employees that still think I don't know if I have an offshore account somewhere that I've put all this payroll in for employees for that extra week that I'm holding. I don't know where they think that is, but that's illegal. It's illegal to take that. They think that I'm holding it and we're going to give it back to them when they retire or they quit. That's not how it works. We just simply moved in arrears. Every single day that our employees have worked, we have 13 days by law to give them that money. A pay period ends on Sunday night for most of us in the courthouse, Friday at 4 o'clock. Now those timesheets are turned into my office on Monday. They are true and accurate according to the law of Illinois and the United States. labor laws. They are true. Well, most of them are true and accurate. I can't even say they're all true and accurate. I'm sorry, I can't say that. At least there's the opportunity for those timesheets to be true and accurate. We process payroll. We have to give it to the bank by Wednesday. It goes into their account on Friday. Paper checks can be picked up by department heads at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock?
3.
3 o'clock on Thursday. So these employees are made whole. I don't understand how we now give them a cash advance for 40 hours or give them 40 hours back in their benefit time and let them buy it back over a 20-week period. I don't know how you justify that with public money. But again, the grievance says, remedy, they want to be made whole. They're whole. I don't know how we remedy something. It'd be like me taking my car that I have absolutely no problems with up to Leach Wilson and saying, can you fix this? Well, what's wrong with it? Nothing. Can you just fix it for me? We need to know what to fix. Well, there's nothing broken, but I want you to fix it. I mean, it makes no sense. But you're asking me to write yet another check. From my understanding, and I've asked for legal counsel, it's an illegal payment. It's illegal for me to take taxpayer money and just give it to somebody. Say, here you go, now you pay it back to me over the next 4 weeks. We told AFSCME we wouldn't do it. So I don't understand this whole process, and I struggle with being asked to do it.
Actually, the grievance should have never been written.
The what?
Grievance should have never been written. The union is a violation of a contract.
You can do a verbal with follow-up by written.
Yeah, but what did
I went to the University of Illinois for 4 years on this. You can.
I worked for General Motors for 35 years. Mm-hmm. And on both sides, union and management negotiated contracts.
So did I.
The union should have never filed a grievance that wasn't violating the contract.
So what's your point?
The point is that contract wasn't violated, the grievance should have never been written.
That's in your interpretation.
What's violated?
Well, I don't want to take time away from you, but could we hear from the grievance committee now, or if you're not?
I mean, just had a quick question. I guess a couple of comments that I had questions on there is I wasn't aware until this conversation that AFSCME was told that they did not have that payback plan that they had asked for it. This is the first time I've heard that.
Well, it's not, because I've discussed it in open meetings at budget committee meetings that will have tapes, and I believe I discussed it at open board meetings.
I heard you say you made an agreement.
So, I didn't make an agreement. I first of all want to say this. It's not my job to create county policy. It's not my job to go to FOP when we knew we were going to do a payroll change and do it. You are the governing body of this county. I am not. This is not my payroll policy, which has been put out there. I'm not the one that passed the pay period change. When we announced in January at the board meeting that we were going to do this, our county person rep, is that what you call her? Our county rep for AFSCME came and spoke to me and AFSCME had their own meeting. They met with all of the county employees. AFSCME point blank told the county employees, there's nothing grievable here. They could give payroll in arrears. Now they said we couldn't go to a time clock, but they point blank said, we can do nothing. We can't stop this because, I mean, long and short, we're prepaying employees the government money, which is illegal.
Erica, I've got a question. You said that you went to the county, the steward?
I didn't go to anybody. She came to me.
Okay, but it was within the county. It wasn't Council 31. I guess that is what my question is.
How did she know how to come to you? How did she know?
We announced in a public meeting that we were changing payroll. This has not been a secret. It's not been done behind the scenes. In January of this year, I gave you all calendars.
Council 31 has not been.
Yes, they have.
Lisa went to Erica when I gave her after the January County Board meeting and said, they're going to change payroll.
After they had their union meeting.
And she, Lisa went to Erica as acting president local. Then they brought in Council 31 person to talk to Erica about this. But, because that one, that they
got in writing remedy, please, what remedy was it in writing?
Yes, you all approved it.
It came before the board and it was passed. But AFSCME had their, before Lisa came to me, they had a meeting at the courthouse, I forget what day or whatever. I mean, they don't tell me things and I don't ask things. But then Lisa approached me, asked me to sit down, and it was Lisa, there was a highway rep, a health department rep, and the union rep, who at the time was David Beck, who's no longer there. Now we have Natalie something. So they asked to meet with me. They had three solutions, options, whatever, and one of them, which was they wanted a payroll loan. They wanted to still be paid for 40 hours, or 35 for most of us, whatever, their weekly pay, and long and short, what we agreed upon, and that's the amendment that you signed, they asked if we would allow employees to cash out 1 week's worth of benefits, 40 hours for some, 35 for others, and they opened it up to sick time, which you never get cash out of sick time. But the amendment that was signed was a one-time event agreement for this switchover. I brought that, I believe, to the budget committee after I met with AFSCME, because it's not my shop to call. I just kind of did. They came to me, I went to the board, said these were our options. I forget the other one, but the one was a payroll loan, and I said, that's a payroll loan, we can't do that. And so we, and they were all fine with this remedy.
But the FOP didn't have a
problem. I never went to FOP, and I've made it very clear in every meeting, anytime I'm asked. I didn't go to AFSCME. AFSCME came to me. What AFSCME brought to me, I took to the budget committee and then to the board.
They had a way to know.
But you know what? Their leader had a way to know too, because this was discussed in an open meeting in January. And I think Kay was still the law enforcement chair at that time. They knew this was happening. FOP failed to communicate here. They failed to come and say, how can we fix this before?
Bruce said in a meeting that he had communicated with FOP January through March of this year, and then brought Mark Rosilio in. And the bottom line is, guys, it's not my job to go figure these out. The only reason I even discussed it with AFSCME was they came to me. So they came to me. Easier to have a meeting with five people than it is 30 people. And then I took it to the budget committee. They seemed to be perfectly fine with it. They agreed. They took it to the full board. I didn't go do anything. I just kind of did a middleman, you know. And I will say, at some point, there was conversation, and I was told, you know, by Rob, that he would take it to the FOP representatives over there. At that point, that conversation is between you and FOP.
Didn't you have a phone conversation with the sheriff who said?
I did find that on, is that January 14th? Mm-hmm. The sheriff called me at 8:30 in the morning. Unfortunately, you have to have a subpoena to get phone calls, but I got a phone call at 8:30 in the morning telling me they were on board. I've written it down in my day planner. Forgot all about it because it's the day we were locked out of the courthouse. Told me point blank, he's talked to FOP, they're on board, whatever it takes to make payroll right and make it easier. It's a phone conversation. Hindsight, hey, could you put that in writing? I asked for a lot of things in writing and don't get it. But I can tell you I got that phone call on January 14th telling me everything over there was perfectly fine. So I didn't pursue it with anyone. I didn't pursue it with the budget committee or anyone because I had the sheriff's word. They were all on board, no problem. Go for it.
Okay, what do we do from here, State Attorney?
Wait a minute, I got one more question. The tapes that you had me listen to were I volunteered to talk to FOP on the January budget meeting, and I think it was Frank's voice, but you were asked if you had talked to FOP. It was on January the 22nd, the budget meeting. You weren't asked about AFSCME, you were asked about FOP. Frank asked if comment on that tape? No, you had not, but you would take care of that.
I talked to Rob, and Rob said he was going to do it. The sheriff called me on January 14th. And told me, on January 14th, I was told they were all good.
But on the 22nd?
But I didn't talk to him.
22nd, when you were questioned, you said you would take care of that. And I think it's Frank's voice, but that was...
And I did, and I talked to Rob, and Rob told me he would present it. He was to go to over there. The sheriff had already told me it was okay.
Okay, we definitely have a problem.
Yes.
Where do we go with this to resolve it?
Well, if you go by the contract, no, you answer that.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, the grievance was filed, and the grievance remedy provides for, you know, this was step two, where a committee from the county board met with a committee from the union. We came up with this, you know, resolution, or whatever you want to call it, in step two. If that's not satisfactory somehow, step three is arbitration. That's what the contract calls for.
Sure.
So,
what's that cost?
Around $40,000 to $60,000. That's what I used to pay when I arbitrated the case. Now, on my side. Now, Gina might have a different figure.
But before we made anything with them as a committee, we met at a pre-meeting. The three of us and the sheriff met at a pre-meeting, just discussed, you know, what the grievance meant, and they told us that Bruce and Don did not resolve it on step one, and we were step two. We've just been appointed to the committee, so we met there. The FOP had contacted us, and they said they had been offered this cases in the past where they could pay it back over time. The second thing they said was, you know, we were never met with personally. That was their two complaints. We called one of the people who had done a contract with them when they went to arrears and just said, you know, how did you do it? And they sent us all their plans and said what they'd offered, and they had several plans that they'd offered where people could take cash for that week where their pay moved back. They could take cash and use benefits. They could take different ways to have, like, their regular paycheck, 30, 35, 40 hours, whatever their regular check was. It varied by their departments, but they were given the ability to get a paycheck for that one week that was skipped. And they know they got paid for all their weeks and it went to arrears, just they skipped having a payment. They did not receive any cash for that one week. So they had the ability to cash something in, and in that cash, there was like three different plans where they could agree to accept their regular cash paycheck, and they could pay it back over a series of paychecks, and they ran anywhere from 20 paychecks to 6 months in the plans they offered, and they said we had people take all of those plans, and we had people take all the different plans offered, so we knew that it had been done. Dale talked to West and Company, our accountant, and said, can this be done? And they said, yes, we can work with her on settling that. So then the next meeting, we invited them in. And that's the meeting where we basically just talked about what's the grievance about, what you really want. You know, we just listened basically at that meeting. And then we said, come back with some ideas of what you want to do. Because that second meeting, they basically just said, we're all mad and we want to do something, but we don't even know what we want to do. That's exactly how the second meeting went. So then the third meeting, we said, we'll meet again, which was on that June the 3rd meeting after our board meeting that morning. We met with them that afternoon and said, come back. And they came back and they told us what they had in mind, which was to either be able to, some of them took cash and used benefit time, and they wanted that benefit time back, like vacation time, personal time, because some of the people only had like 1 week of vacation, but they wanted the ability to repay that benefit time. Some of them wanted to take cash, pay it back over time, like some of their other counties and cities they worked for had done with them to move to arrear in other places. And some of them wanted to stay with just what they elected the first time. And so we basically just talked about it, and said we couldn't do on repayment period because we thought it was too long. At the time, we said we want to get it all done this year, which we had done on June the 10th. We would have got it done this year. And that didn't happen, but we made them a counteroffer, and they went in the, we went in the jury room and discussed it. We made them a counteroffer. They went in the jury room. They came back and accepted our offer, at which time then we agreed to present to the board what we did. We offered like these two plans that they could take. And then in return for that, they would say their grievance was settled.
How much money are you talking? I mean, you settle up.
Zero. I mean, basically, you're...
Well, no, she's talking about it's a loan.
Well, so I mean, basically, you're going to give a person a paycheck of $1,000, and over the next 10 pay periods, they're going to give you the $1,000 back. So, I mean, I guess it's interest on the money for 10 pay periods. Yeah, and that's if the ones who want to take that, because some of them, if they had taken cash in May, all they were going to do was, they said, I want my vacation time back. I want my 40 hours of vacation back that I give for cash in May. So if they wanted their vacation time back in order to get that replenished, they were going to take 10 pay periods, and every pay period, they were going to say, take 4 hours of pay out of my pay, put that on my vacation account, and after 10 pay periods, they'd have their 40 hours of vacation back. No money was involved because they'd already got the money in May when they cashed in their vacation. They wanted vacation back, so the only ones involved money are the ones who took nothing in May and said, now we want a regular paycheck, and we will pay back those hours. Basically, if they work 40 hours, they're going to take pay for 36 hours until 10 pay periods went by. And so it was just a swap of hours. I mean, they were going to work hours for free to pay back the money they took in the middle of May. So the money that was involved was all coming back within 10 pay periods.
Now, is that 3 months?
20 weeks.
It was 20 weeks, yeah.
Okay. 26 weeks. How many people are you talking about? 52 a year.
There's 28 people probably employed there full time.
Thanks.
And so about...
You have 7 employees that want a straight pay cash that they want to pay back, and then you have 9 that want their benefit time restored. So 16. But then they have time on the books that they've not earned. I don't understand. If you want to do that, then earn it back in 4-hour increments. When we deduct it from their paycheck in 4 hours, put 4 hours back in their bank. It's still somewhat of a payroll loan, in my opinion, but at least then that's an even trade. How you just write someone a check is beyond me. The one thing I didn't have time to do yesterday because I was not in the office in the afternoon, I need to go back and see who even cashed what time out, because I think one person that I was, well, so they want that. That I need to go back and double check.
There was 12 that said they didn't want to do anything. So basically then the rest of the group were the ones that wanted to make a change. And like I said, we checked with Weston Company. We checked with counties and cities. They told us they had done it. And we checked. We found out they really had done that plan. So I guess we can check with our account, and we checked with somebody who'd done it 4 years ago, but we checked with somebody who had done it, and they did it with like 3 different unions when they did it.
But they did it prior to the actual change. The problem was we didn't have that. I wasn't made aware that Christian County had even done it or what they had done.
You mentioned to us.
I said I wasn't made aware that they had done it until we were a couple weeks out from the change. If we would have known, if FOP would have said something back in January, we could have done this pre-thing. We did not have enough time. My payroll system, we have to set that system up prior to the calendar year. It's part of the fraud checks and balances that's in our software system. Because if we don't have these pay periods that are made up before the beginning of the year, any of us in my department could go in and create a payroll and send ourselves a check. So the system doesn't let you do that. You do it one time, you do it before the calendar year, and you create your pay dates. We create one for the board, we create one for the employees, and so we have to use that pay date, but what we also did was we changed the deductions coming out of that little check so that the third payroll things weren't taken out. So I didn't know in advance. I did talk to Weston Company on Monday. He really didn't, they're not payroll specialists, first of all. They are not payroll specialists. They did, we had a finding in our audit. There were findings in our audit that payroll basically needed to be cleaned up. You can go back and read those two pages of findings, but then we said, well, we, you know, rectified it because we changed payroll, we changed the pay dates, we've gone to arrears. It was a finding in the audit that we were not paying in arrears and documentation was not being kept. The other thing that he said is this is an administrative nightmare. To go back and do this after the fact, and it will be an administrative nightmare. But again, if you want to give them their 4 hours of benefit time back, give it back to them in four-hour increments. Then everybody, then the county's not out money, they're not out money, but how do you just write someone a third paycheck and let them pay it back? I don't
understand. We can't, because we made a determination and we're done. It's going to arbitration now. No, there's nothing we can do for the grievance committee. We did our deal. The board backed us. It hasn't been backed. You know, we had basically, our HR department had 28 employees that aren't happy, and that's where it's at.
So the county is going to pay $40,000 to $60,000 for an arbitrator?
And usually they split it between the union,
split 50-50.
And they do it between management. And it could be lopsided one way or another, but that's how it's done.
It's split. I mean, each one pays for one arbitrator, and they split the third one, is what it says. It's right in the contract. And we made something based on a lot of homework, and not one meeting, but three meetings that we had. And Gina was there, and like I said, we checked with the county that had done it.
I listened
to both parties. You know, I mean, we worked on the agreement with 28 of our employees. And yes, it would have been great to do this in advance, but it didn't happen.
But their union stewards failed to communicate with those FOP people. They failed to communicate because everybody, this was discussed in an open meeting. Everybody knew this was going to go on in May. It was discussed in January. Everybody was given
purposely
so we could point our
well, no. January 22nd, that conversation happened with Frank and at least one of, I think Kay was the other voice. If it was done and no questions, why did that question come up in the budget meeting on the tape that I listened to? I listened to three tapes after I was told that it was my job to do it, which I never said that, but I did hear that conversation on January the 22nd.
Eric, you've got usually a pre-arbitrating meeting. Some of this can be rectified by that pre-arbitrating meeting, and I would recommend you to want to try to do what you can.
Gina, you just send the letter. We're not involved in the arbitration.
Bruce, I bet she's finished.
You're taking off.
I'll be back. Let's stop.
Go ahead.
I mean, if you read the contract, if we don't keep what we did, then it goes to the next step, which we are not involved in. Then it drops back to county legal. Yeah. It goes to county legal and their legal, and they didn't want to spend money any more than we did. I mean, they wanted to resolve the situation. Listen to what other counties did. We thought we were presenting our.
I think you did a good job. Good
answers. We talked to our accountant who said, yep, they handled that and answer questions. I mean, we thought we handled it very well. But
the problem I see, I'm going to put a commercial in for the handbook again. The union's got a contract. They've got rules.
Oh, yes.
Our county is sitting here with no guidelines, no handbook, no policy set. And this is what you're going to get into when you run without a policy manual.
And And when we talked to another county, they said, as a human resources department, they said, we passed the policy first, then we talked to all of our employees, and if a problem would have popped up that we couldn't handle, we would have had to rescind the policy. But they said they did it the opposite of what we did, but they said we met with each one of our employee groups. Human resources did at the county we talked to. We didn't do that. We left it up to word of mouth to get to them that you need to come check it out.
No, that's not true, and that's not even fair.
Well, I don't know. That's all I know.
I mean, that's not even fair, you know, it was out there. And I'll say this while we're on the point of policy. There's not one payroll that I've processed since we've passed this policy that's legal, that I don't have illegal timesheets and illegal documentation. Not one. I don't have compliance with department heads, with the law, and by the law. We are paying out employees that turn in a timesheet to me that show they were in the office for 35 hours that week, in an 8 out of 4, like they were there. When those employees have called my office or been in my office, in Jessica's office, she can confirm this, that they were on vacation.
Illinois, I'm going to go ahead and stop right there because I think that might be something that's an open session matter. Because closed session for today is for the grievance and for our pending litigation. So, and I'm not saying it's not valid. I'm just saying it's not something that's for closed session right now.
Thank you.
We're talking about grievance here, not payroll.
She was talking about payroll, but not about the grievance.
Bobby?
Was there ever a copy of the grievance sent out? The actual, not, I just was looking for it. I didn't know where it was at. It's probably my
guess. We got it, but I don't know whether it went to anyone else or not. We got it.
They didn't write
the grievance?
We got it.
The grievance itself.
I don't think the grievance was an underwear.
The law says 15 days after you give a verbal, you have to have it in writing.
I don't know about the national grievance.
Can the arbitrator rule that it wasn't a grievance? The no contract was broken?
Oh, yeah.
Can they just rule
the arbitrator
that? Because I never found anywhere in the contract that we broke the contract. I never found a word in there that made it look like we broke the contract by changing our payroll.
I don't think we did that.
So, I never figured out why you even accepted it.
When we asked them to start with, basically that's the first thing they said was, I said, how do you make it whole? They said, well, you go back to the old system. I said, well, we're already past that, so obviously that isn't going to happen. So I said, what do you really want? And that's the meeting where we just ask questions. What do you really want? Because we can't go back to something that's already been put in place,
right,
and already done. And right, they acknowledge that. That boat had already shipped. Or that ship had already sailed. I mean, that part was done.
Yeah, and the way I feel like everybody's already been paid, it's all already been done.
You know, the whole thing is in 20 weeks, we're not in a different position than we are now.
Right.
We're just doing this for the sake of doing it, which is an administrative nightmare for my office, because then you've got to keep track, and then, you know, all these and these 4 hours, again, it can't be I don't know how we can do a prepayment. And everybody's whole. This is what they chose to do at that time. But after you give it back and then change it, in 20 weeks, we're not in a different position than where we are right now. And so it's not really changing anything.
Okay, so here's the actual grievance. The employer, via board resolution, outside of collective bargaining agreement, has unilaterally changed terms and conditions absent of the bargaining process by withholding a week of pay in the month of May as parties wait for resolution through arbitration of successor agreement and forcing members to use various forms of accrued benefit time, including sick leave, other benefit times, to make the difference in defiance of employee optional nature of said benefits during the COVID-19 pandemic. That's the agreements. Which one? Yeah, it has nothing to do with COVID.
say that. I said that.
Yeah. So, but it's got listed the articles. It's all out of all applicable.
Yeah.
And there is a remedy. We are really soft.
Yeah, we looked at all the articles and they cited.
So the remedy there is to make agreements whole.
To make members whole. Remedy sought, return to status quo and make all members whole. They are whole. You can't go back to a status quo that's illegally paying employees for time not yet earned.
Right.
You can't do that. So the remedy that's needed is to go back to illegal activity when they're already whole. Am I wrong in that?
I think they're whole. I thought the agreement should have been thrown out in the first place. So I did. But I wasn't on the grievance committee, so. I don't know what we do next. Say arbitration.
I guess it goes to arbitration.
Well, I think all we got to do is I think we need to go into open session and vote that the board doesn't want to back the committee or does want to back the committee, and then she sends a letter to them that.
We can't do that. It's not on the agenda.
Well, it's still on the agenda.
The closed session. You can't take action in closed session, but when we go back into open session, there's nothing on the agenda for you to act on.
So we got to act on it next
So month. We have to act on it in September.
Yeah, basically, that's what she's saying.
I don't know what I read in the OMA the last time this happened. It said as long as it's on the agenda and we go into closed session, we can probably come out. What's your opinion?
Spent $7,000, FOP and county, when they arbitrated their contract. Okay. So that's what
that
we have paid.
That was $7,000 each?
I don't remember.
I think it was $7,000 each side span, and that was one arbitrator, and this is three.
Well, that would be a lot more time because it would be a whole contract, not one issue. I really don't think that one issue would be, I can't see how arbitration would take very long. Over one issue. And it could be they drop it. They tried to file a grievance against me last August because I refused to write two paychecks. You know, they sent something, I sent back, and point blank said, there's been nothing violated in this contract, and they didn't.
They may drop it.
Right, and just, yeah, they could fine completely for the county, they could fine completely for the union, they could do anything in between, they could boot it out, that it's not even anything that could be grieved, you know. It's a risk, I guess, in that sense, that none of us are the arbitrator. We don't know what the arbitrator or arbitrators will find. But
the remedy for now is she sends them a letter.
Correct.
Yes.
We don't have to do
that. Yeah, not the remedy under the grievance, but what we do now going forward is I will make it known that we don't
have to do that.
We're going to do step two. It goes directly to step three. So you don't have to do a thing on the person in the letter.
Unless they decide to just drop it.
They're not going to drop that.
Correct, although I don't think that's likely. Yeah.
Really? That arbitrator's going to get his money.
Oh, yeah, the arbitrator could drop. I thought you meant the FOP. I'm like, no, that's more likely.
Yeah. No, I don't know what they'll do.
Yes, he
does. Okay, so are we done with the closed session?
There was other things. things that we wanted to discuss about the pending litigation. So we had a conference call. Hold on. And basically, in that conference call, the court, Judge Kester, indicated that we talked about the conflict that I have, because what the action that the board took in approving bills for Ed Flynn, then Erica did not pay them. So if, like, for example, if Erica were being sued by someone else entirely under different circumstances, I would be representing Erica in that litigation. So, or alternatively, if the board were sued by someone, I would represent the board in that litigation. But when the two positions are opposite each other or in conflict with each other, I can't represent both people and tell the court one thing for one person and one thing for the other person. Ethically, you know, that's not allowed. The court is going to appoint an attorney for Erica. At that time, the judge said that she would be asking the Attorney General's office. I mean, she had asked the Attorney General's office. There had been no response to her at that time. I don't know if there's been any response to her yet. But anyway, so if the Attorney General's office gets back and says, yes, we will represent the treasurer, then they're going to represent the treasurer. If they say no, then I think the next step is asking the state's attorney's appellate prosecutor for them to say yes or no. If they say yes, again, then they'll represent the treasurer. If they say no, then the judge indicated that she would likely appoint a state's attorney from a neighboring county. Now, I will say this, and all my, we don't have an official no from the appellate prosecutor or anything like that, but in all my 8 years, there are certain things they don't get involved in, and civil litigation is one of them. So I think it's unlikely, if the attorney general says no, I think it's unlikely that the appellate prosecutor will say yes. But, and so then the other thing is, for me, it is an ethical question, because the two positions are in conflict. I think the ethical thing to do is that I don't represent the board either. And in fact, anybody, call the ARDC, which is the ethical, authority for attorneys in Illinois, and you can pose a hypothetical situation. And so I posed a hypothetical situation, which was this exact situation, and they said, the safest thing to do is for that attorney to not represent either person. So that's what I'm telling you. We've got this litigation. It's likely we would have the same process to happen. The attorney general, yes or no. The appellate prosecutor, yes or no. And then that leaves us with either asking for an appointed attorney, which I think is going to be an issue, because then now we'll have, so the judge indicated she probably would be appointing someone from the Fourth Circuit, which is the 9th County Circuit that Shelby County is part of. So, okay, I'm out. So there's eight state's attorneys that are eligible, so to speak. So one person would represent Erica. Then there's seven left. I think it's unlikely the judge would appoint another state's attorney to represent us. So due to that, David's sister is an attorney, and he had some discussions with her. And her firm would be willing to represent us in this litigation. And so we've got, the two lawsuits, and we're basically, the judge indicated on the conference call that she's treating them the same. So Erica will get counsel. Well, Erica's not in the one, but the board is in both of them, so I'm guessing that they would be treated the same as far as counsel for that. So,
but are you telling us the board?
Flynn and the market, yes.
Are you telling us the board may have to retain counsel? Cost us, or she'll get covered.
And you won't know when you put in that request to the judge, right?
So,
is there any other remedy?
There's got to be.
Pay the bills.
there a way to, I don't know how to word this.
Because that exact situation you described is what got us into a situation we're in.
No, that's incorrect. The situation we're trying to do now is hire legally.
Yes.
Which would be court authority and board authority.
Through court authority, it's fine. So it has to have board, we have to give the point of view. So what, the way I just heard that was, we would have to retain, well, no, we wouldn't retain, we would get the benefit of retaining. We have court, we have to allow her to go ask the court.
Yeah.
To hire, so that's what she's asking for. That's what she's asking for us.
Court.
That's a board to allow her to spend that money for her budget, to go ask the court to hire. Court appointed anything up on board with. That's what she's asking.
I can speak to her, it is my sister, she's a partner at this law firm. I reached out because we're not getting anywhere. She is a taxpayer in Shelby County. She told me that she is concerned about some of the issues that we're in. She thought she could help. They are giving us an extreme discount. She's $750 an hour. Her partner that's going to do most of the litigation is $900 an hour. And they're not even charging her that. So, anyways, it's...
What are you saying? I didn't understand everything. I heard $700. You talking about a lawyer coming in now?
I'm telling you that she's going to try to provide... Ooh. She is going to provide us a business. My sister, that is a partner at Nixon Peabody.
What if state's attorneys don't cross this up?
If the judge...
If the judge allows
that. Right, if the judge allows that.
So this is a backup idea to not getting it. This is an opportunity to resolve our issues.
Sure.
It's an opportunity to move forward. That's what it is.
So at the end, we are going to. We're going to tell the FOP we can't do it, and with the state, we're going to wait until the judge tells us how we're going to have to represent ourselves. Is that what I'm hearing? I think it is.
Say that again, Bruce.
I said, with the grievance, we're going to tell them to go ahead. We're not going to honor our part. Go ahead and take us to arbitration. And with the Flynn legal counsel, we're going to just wait and see what the judge does to us.
Yes, we have an engagement letter from David's sister's firm, and it allowed for a certain amount of hours at the discounted rate of $200. Again, I mean, if the judge says, you know, you're being appointed State's Attorney Smith from such and such county, you know, that's what the judge says. But if the judge says, no, you're fine, you know, to go hire your own attorney, or I'm not going to waste one more state's attorney's time to do this, you're on your own, then this is what we're going to be asking the board to approve. And I would note, I mean, he's talking through, David was talking about just how reduced those rates are. And, you know, in this day and age, we're not necessarily, I don't think, paying them to travel from Chicago down here. We can appear via Zoom. Things are, you know, businesses conducted via conference call and that kind of thing. So it's, I think it would be something where it would be excellent representation for the county. You know, it would help us. I think David's maybe goal and this whole board's goal is to get this resolved and move forward. He would abstain from voting on it.
So, but the county board cannot hire an attorney.
With court approval.
With court approval, we can. Okay.
And with board approval to have that person be a special assistant attorney for that.
All right.
So, any further questions of Gina? If none, do I have a motion for adjournment?
We actually have to.
Oh, I have a motion to adjourn and go back into regular session.
I move.
Oh, wait.
Wait, okay.
We got to do this in open session.
Open it back up.